Those of you who did not read the pastoral e-note this week, you missed my confession. I was standing in the narthex during Holy Week and greeting people before the services, and someone walked by and said, "Well, there's our celebrity." "What? There's our celebrity. What are you talking about?" "Well, BUMC Facebook page. There's a photograph of you being interviewed by the Tennessean about the Stations of the Cross. So you're our celebrity." Well, I got to tell you, I have a Facebook page because our daughter made me get one a long time ago. I liked BUMC, and I think I check the Facebook page every 6 weeks. 3 months, I don't know, not too much. And if you have liked me, I'm sorry, I like you too, but that doesn't mean I'm going to look at your Facebook page. I'm not very good at that, so if you got any questions, you'll have to ask somebody else. On the cover of the bulletin, you'll see a symbol of like Jesus. It's got the Facebook symbol, and that's what we're going to be talking about during this sermon series, about what does it mean to like Jesus? What does it mean to be like Jesus? Our vision statement is living like Jesus and bringing joy to God. What does it mean to live like Jesus? What does it mean to go from being a fan to a follower, one who stands on the sidelines and one who is engaged with Christ, who serves him and loves him, likes him, is a follower? And then I think the bigger question for me is also this: why would I want to? Why do I want to follow Jesus? So we'll look at the Sermon on the Mount and who is Jesus, and today we'll look at what he was saying about building houses and building foundations. The Sermon on the Mount is lessons for living, lessons from Jesus. Matthew presents it as a collection of commands that Jesus made to us about how to live into the kingdom of God, those daily in and out, those daily living practices of what it means to be a disciple, what it means to live a godly and holy life. I picture Jesus on the hillside. Perhaps some of you have been to Israel and seen this as well. He's at the top of the hillside, and there's a chapel built there by Mussolini, of all people, but it's called the Church of the Beatitudes. And our tour guide was showing us right outside of that church is a place where Jesus probably stood and gave this sermon, because it is at the top and it's a big valley that leads straight down to the Sea of Galilee. And so his words would have projected, would have resonated. Matthew tells us there was a crowd there, and how could they all have heard? But this is a place that they may have heard, been able to hear what he said. And Matthew tells us that they were amazed and astounded by what he said. He spoke to people about what it is to walk your daily life, and he also speaks to us today. This is part of what he said in the Sermon on the Mount, familiar words to all of us. You are the light of the world. Don't hide it. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. Whoever asks you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to everyone who begs. Don't refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Be perfect as God is perfect. Forgive as you have been forgiven, and fast and pray. Give gifts to the poor in secret and not in public for your own reward. Store up treasures in heaven and not earth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't worry about your life or worry about tomorrow. And don't judge, lest you be judged. And of course, the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, these are not superficial requests made by Jesus. It's not about having common sense or how to be happy or how to get to heaven or not. These words of Jesus are commandments, truths. that proclaim the meaning of God's kingdom and how we are to act. Jesus said, those who hear these words and act, action, hear and action, take it in and take action as a follower, not just as a fan. And so what does the text say to us about Jesus? And why would we follow? Remember, Matthew said that the crowds were amazed by one as having authority. He claims Jesus has authority. His words cannot be separated from who he is. His statements are spoken as the Son of God, about God's kingdom, about God's vision. The crowds came because perhaps they had heard of him. Perhaps they have seen him. Perhaps they have watched him. And they come because they know he is one who walks the walk and talks the talk. He is one worthy of listening to, one with authority. Both validity and meaning come through what God has done in Jesus Christ. No, he's not just another public speaker. Our sixth graders will be coming for confirmation in a couple of weeks, and part of their process is to be interviewed by a pastor. Now, I know the other pastors were intimidating, but I am not. I was very gracious and kind. I wanted to learn from them, and actually that's the point anyway. It's not an examination. It's to have a relationship and to learn what they have learned and let them teach us. They gave me some pretty profound answers, and here are some that they gave me. And by the way, in your bulletin on the back is table talk, and we invite you to take that home with you. Don't recycle your bulletin today. Take it home. Look at table talk. Look over lunch at these questions. They are tough questions, and tough questions that our confirmands shared their answers to, and so profound. So who is Jesus, I asked. Jesus, here's one answer. Jesus is the one who offers me a good life. Not good for me, but good for others through his work in me. Jesus is like our Savior, who shows us a way that is different from the world. Jesus is the one who would tell me when I'm doing something wrong and also still loves me. Jesus is Lord, and that means I love him above all things. I shared with him what I see when I think of Jesus. The early Christians were called followers of the way, and I see this way that Jesus walks on. He's leading the way, turns around and looks every now and then to see if I'm still there, if I'm staying on this path. And it's a narrow path, maybe a dirt path, but it's a narrow path because Jesus said, small is the gate. And narrow is that road that leads to life. Narrow is the road. Jesus leads us. And we sing, where he leads me, I will follow. And we follow because he is one of authority. He is the Son of God. He is one who leads us and shows us the way to God's vision. And then Jesus talks about building houses. Interesting, this comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, not the beginning. And he's saying at the very end, those who hear these words, all these words of the Sermon of the Mount, those who hear those words and act are like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And those who hear them and don't act are like a person who built a house on sand. Now think about it. Both of them are building houses. And from the outside, they probably look exactly alike. But then the rains come. The fall rains come where Jesus was at the time. Solid ground could be anything until the rains come. And those houses built on a rock, well, they stand. And those built on sand fall apart. Okay, Jesus, this makes sense to me. There are a lot of home builders in this church who would tell us, yes, that's good advice. Build the house on a rock, not on sand. But what is Jesus really telling us in this story? I believe he's pointing out to us that deep canyon that exists between saying one thing and doing another. Jesus says a lot about being a hypocrite. This canyon is that comparison, the critical difference between doing and not doing the will of God. Jesus proclaims grace, but it's never cheap grace, as it has been called. He commanded that we take seriously the Son of God and His words for us, the Son of God revealing God's will for us to live out, to take action in this world. Okay, Jesus, it's a lot, and I'm not sure I can do it all. Matter of fact, I know I can't. I live like I do. How can I sell all I have and give it to the poor? Or how can I keep turning my cheek, Jesus, when my boss keeps insulting me? Give to every person who asks of me, every corner I pass by when there's someone there, give to them. And truly, Jesus, it is next to impossible to love my enemies, much less pray for them. And I'm not so sure about forgiveness. So what is it that you really want me to do, Jesus? And I believe Jesus says, seek me. Look where I am and join me there. Look out in this world that is filled with places of poverty and need, oppression, marginalized people, hurt people, people who can't see the light. Look for me. Seek me. Be where I am. Be involved in my work in the world. I believe Jesus says, dive into the Sermon on the Mount and take it seriously. Act on these words. Don't just hear them. Act on them. Because this is what will give your life meaning and purpose. Look for Jesus. And where you find him, he will be pointing to God. Remember his ministry on earth. Remember all the wonderful, wonderful examples he gives us of sacrificial love. And don't forget his death. His death on the cross, where the world gave him the worst we could offer. And don't forget Easter. Don't forget the empty tomb. The loving God who raised him from the dead and raises us to new life. Don't forget. Seek him. Jesus said, the wise person hears the Lord and builds firm foundations. The wise one, firm foundations, and acts, takes action. There's a photograph I really like. You probably can't read the banner on it, but this is a very old church, and it's on pillars to raise it up from this foundation that they're restoring. And on the church, it says www.oldchurchrenovation.org. Raising up that church and building a new foundation. I find myself in that picture. I find myself thinking, I need to re-examine my foundations. I need to look at my life honestly. Is it centered on Christ? Is Christ the solid rock on which I stand, the truth that I seek in my life? Do I follow Jesus, or do I just like him and think he's a great person? I think I need to raise the building sometime and shore up the foundations and dig deeper into my life and claim Jesus Christ as my Lord once again. And I believe this is true for all of us. There was a specific day in my life in February 1997 when I had to make this decision. I had been on a spiritual retreat and had not been practicing a lot of spiritual disciplines, and came home on a Monday, and I thought, well, this is the day. This is the day I need to do something. And so I opened up the Bible, just randomly opened the Bible and began reading. And I guess God knew what I needed to hear that day because the scriptures fell open to the last chapter of John. You all know that story where Jesus says three times to Peter, do you love me? And yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, feed my sheep and tend my lambs. Take care of my people. Peter, do this. And then Jesus says, and this is my paraphrase, but this is indeed what I heard that day. Jesus said, when you are young, you go about doing what you want to. And when you grow old, you will reach out your hand and I'm going to take you where you don't want to go. And then he says, follow me. That was the day I knew that I had some recommitment to make. Actually, that was the day I knew I was to be a pastor. And those words continued to speak to me profoundly, and even just a few weeks ago, as I had another decision to make when I felt Jesus calling, saying, I need you. I need you. That's the why for me. That's why I want to follow Jesus. What is yours? Jesus says, do you love me? Do you want purpose and meaning in your life? I can give you that. One day we all have to decide, because Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. It is a daily choice that we make. Also, look at this picture, and I think of our foundations as a church. Yes, we have challenges ahead. We always do. Churches always have a challenge. And the best way that we can prepare for the challenges that face us are living into God's future, being grounded in God's word, being centered on Christ, being faithful to the calling of Jesus Christ to us. What are our foundations? Are they strong? What do we value? Are our values Christ-centered? Are we focused inward, or when we leave here, are we focused out in the world that is out there that needs to hear the good news? Do we seek only to please ourselves, or do we seek to only please the one who calls us? Do we love our enemies? Do we go that extra mile? Do we take action, as Jesus said? Are we committed to be followers? Are we like the fans at Titan Stadium up in the stands cheering loudly but not engaged in the game? I believe there are great possibilities for Brentwood United Methodist Church beyond our imaginings. We have to have that firm foundation. And we get that by following Christ and only Christ. I believe we have an invitation today to be honest as a church together, to examine our values and our mission, work toward that vision of living like Jesus and bringing joy to God. We don't know what it looks like, but God does. God will tell us what it takes to get there, but we have to be open to hear the calling of Christ. What does it take to get there? And I feel bold to answer. The only way to get there is by following Christ, because it is His church. It is not our church. And so we have an invitation today. As individuals, to claim Jesus Christ as our foundation, to build our lives upon Him. And sure, it's for our own good. Of course it is. But it's so much more than that. It is about the love of God. And it is only the love of God that can change us and therefore change the world. It is the love of God that can work through us, giving us meaning and purpose. And the same is true for our church, the church that belongs to Jesus. Jesus asked us for a commitment today to hear these words and to act. This is the day we decide what matters. Every step we take has meaning and purpose because Christ will show us the way. The great hymn of the church, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. It matters. Christ matters. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you teach us. You show us. You lead us. And so we choose this day to trust in you and to follow. We commit our lives to you, knowing that your love will never let us go. And we commit anew this church to you, knowing that you have much more work to do through us to build your kingdom. So lead us and we will follow for Christ's sake. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.